pray for that baby right now, Lord. Father, we thank you for this this dear son, Lord. And Father, that I know he came early, Lord, but we just ask you bless his health, just strengthen his lungs, Lord, and just put that weight on those little bugger, you know, and just little ringlets of fat on each one of those arms, Lord. And we thank you so much that you have blessed this world with children, Lord. And what a blessing they are, and to keep us young, Father. Sometimes we feel old, you know, keeping up with them, but Lord, it keeps us young too, and Lord, we allows us to teach one other person. So Father, bless this time, Lord. And Father, we just ask you to be with Brother Gary this morning. Just anoint the message that he has prepared for us here, Lord, that we'll have ears to hear, Lord, and that that we can gain some additional knowledge of what you want for us to do in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, little Benjamin, son, the Hebrew for son of my right hand, or son of my strength. Little Benjamin, he looks like a little man, because he's a preemie, 6 weeks, so he doesn't have a lot of that baby fat on him, not yet, anyway. He just weighs 5 pounds now. He was weighing 4 pounds, 4 ounces at birth, 17 and a quarter inches long. The Bible calls a cubit from the tip of your finger to you. Elbow is a cubit, that's 18 inches around. Well, he was 17 inches long. He's got long arms, long legs. He looks like a little man. And Gary, there's no problem with his lungs. Believe me, he cries day and night. Does anybody struggle with sin besides me? Anybody? That's somebody back there went like this. We all struggle with sin, brothers. And I'm grateful for the Apostle Paul, because as you read through the Bible, you'll see that he is so much like you and I. Yes, he wrote most of the New Testament, a mighty saint, a mighty man of God, but he really touches home with us. I mean, he would have been, I believe, if he was alive today, a Calvary, what is that, hum? Oh, a Calvary Chapel pastor, Pastor Paul, yeah. John the Baptist probably would have been a Baptist. Peter would have been the Pope. Okay, I better let that. You see, Marvin's not here to rebuke me, man. We can have some fun today. Oh, but Paul really, you know, I can relate with him, and I think you can too. Paul was there when the first martyr of the church was killed, Stephen. Remember when Stephen was stoned? Paul was there giving his approval. His name was Saul then, before his conversion. How many of us in this room have had that conversion? How many of us in this room did things in our life that we are so ashamed of? Let me tell you something. I'm the chief sinner. Paul said he was the chief sinner. And you know what? I think, have you ever heard somebody say this? He that's forgiven much is grateful much. You heard that before? Brothers, that's not in the Bible. Did you know that? It's not in the Bible. Actually, what Jesus said, he who's not grateful much, he who's not forgiven much is not grateful much. That's the exact words of Christ. And of course, we've taken that and turned it around, because it's easier to say, he who's forgiven much is grateful much. I mean, it's the same thing, right? Just a little nugget there. But Paul was grateful, and he was thankful that he was forgiven so much. And like I said, I think he would have been a Calvary Chapel pastor, because he is just a real down-to-earth kind of guy. And I want to talk with you, brothers, today. I want you to let the walls of pride fall. I'm going to throw some scriptures at you today that I want you to put in your heart. Because you know what? I'm a pastor, and I struggle with many things. And I'm not going to talk about the outward sins that we struggle, the real apparent ones, the ones that you can see, men, when we get angry. Now, those are outward sins. I'm going to talk about the sin of the mind. I want to talk today with you about our thoughts, because I want you all to know, and myself to know, Jesus listens to our thoughts. Paul has a lot to say about that, and we're going to look through some scriptures today, and I hope by the end of our 25 minutes together that you guys will have some places to go in the Bible where you can fight the battle of the thought process. And listen, brothers, it all starts with the thought process when we get up in the morning. I have my sermon notes here for today, or Bible study notes. If anybody wants a copy, I will copy them off for you after we finish the Bible study. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this, in the Greek, reasonable service means this is your worship. When you present your body before God and to Him, and I'm talking about mind, soul, and spirit, this is our worship. We're worshiping Him when we do this. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Oh, that's a big one, guys. That's a big one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every one of you guys want to do the will of God. How do I know that? You're at the men's prayer breakfast. And that's why as I was praying about this study, I said, Lord, give me something for these men. And the Lord said, I will, Gary. I'm going to give something for you, too. And I said, okay, Lord, lay it on me. The Lord said, I've been listening to your thoughts. And I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transformed in the Greek literally means metamorphosis. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. From a worm to a beautiful flying butterfly. That's what God wants us to do. He wants our mind to be transformed. So that means it's a gradual process that we go through. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren. How many guys use that in their language? Beseech. I thought it meant I beg you. It doesn't. I looked it up in the Greek. You know what it means? I invite you. I invite you, brothers, to be transformed with your mind. And she said, what's the difference, Gary? The difference is if I'm going to have a barbecue and I have ribeye steaks and corn on the cob and watermelon on ice and Dr. Peppers and everything ready to go, and I come up and I say, bro, come on over. I'm inviting you over for lunch or dinner. You've got the choice whether you want to come or not. If you don't come, you're going to miss out. Isn't that right, Dennis? I cooked the good steaks. Yeah. But you don't have to come if you don't want to. Paul is saying right here, I invite you men, I invite you to take these scriptures and understand that we need to be not conforming to this world any longer. And I'm going to talk about sex today. All the little kids are going, ooh, you know, I saw that. But there's a thing, listen men, it's not going to be nasty. I'm going to talk about how we look at the other opposite sex. I'm going to talk about music, because these are all things that we have in our minds that we need to be transformed through and with. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I always have brothers come up to me and they say, Pastor Gary, you know what? You don't know what I'm going through. Man, I'm just struggling. Went to the baseball game the other day, and I went with a brother. And you know, I don't know if you've been to an Angel game. Probably most of you guys have. The ladies there, some of them wear the most skimpiest things. And you know what? It doesn't matter how you know, grounded you are in the faith. Guess what? You know, sometimes you'll just look. They pass by you, you know, and pretty soon you're just going, oh, my gosh. Paul said, no temptation. This is from 1 Corinthians 10. Don't turn there. 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. See, I always tell the brother, I say, you know what, bro? We're all in this together. All things are common to man. You guys have heard me say that. You guys that have come to me. All things are common to man. Where do I get that from? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Now, the verse before it, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I like that one, too. If anybody in this room thinks they don't struggle with these things that I'm talking about, take heed lest you fall. I remember I came to, when I was a baby Christian, I came to men's prayer once, and Joe Evans was there, and I walked in, and the men were talking about this very thing, about struggling with looking at girls the wrong way. And I walked in there, and they were talking about it, and I said, "Well, I don't have any of that problem." And Joe said, "Careful." When I said, "What?" The very next day, I went to the beach. It was during the summertime, and I could not keep my eyes from looking. And I wasn't married then, but so what? I was lusting after them in my eyes, and guess what? I said, "Oh my God, what a wretched, stinking man that I am. I want to do good, but I'm not doing it." But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I think, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking about the two examples in the Bible, Joseph and King David. Remember Joseph with Potiphar's wife? I mean, she wanted to make love to him. She said, "Come on, you know, come to bed." And what did Joseph do? "Man, I'm out of here." And he was out of there, man. What did David do? He sent his armies off the battle, and he was hanging around on a rooftop one hot day, and Bathsheba was taking a bath down there. And what did he do? He lusted after her. How do we know that? Well, he told one of his men, "Go down there and get her and bring her up here." We have choices to make. But I want you all to know that God is watching us. He's listening to us, and especially our thought process. That's pretty heavy. And now I want you to turn with me to Romans 7, because you know what? Since we're in this book, you're going to see that Paul, he struggled. Most of you are familiar with this, but look at Romans chapter 7. I want to look at one verse, verse 5. We'll start with that, and then we'll jump down to verse 14. Romans 7, verse 5. As we read this, brothers, don't, you know, try to focus on this, because it's going to sound like, he's kind of jumping all over the place. But stay focused and listen to his mind as he's going nuts over this battle that we're talking about today. Romans 7, 5. "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." This is before we were saved. Before we were saved, we were in the flesh. And so our sinful nature was always leading our flesh. We had an excuse, if you will, to be lusting after girls and listening to death metal, rock and roll, or whatever we were into. Verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, what I want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Verse 16. "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present within me," the will is present, I want to do it, "but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" How many times do we feel that way, brothers? Come on. I start getting it right. And I'm walking with the Lord, you know, and I'm saying, "Lord, man, I know I'm pleasing you because I'm really trying hard." And then I fall flat on my face. I have good days, bad days. You have good days and bad days. Those bad days come. You're looking at women wrong. You're listening to the wrong kind of music. We are. And all of a sudden you go, "What a miserable, wretched, rotten, stinking man that I am." Oh, and the devil's right there to just join you in your pity party, isn't he? The devil's right there to go, "That's right, you stink. You know, you are a wretched, rotten man." But verse 25, we didn't finish with that. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one. Yes, there's no good in me. We read that a minute ago, but another verse says, there's no good in me but Christ who lives in me. Listen, brothers, there's no good in any of us in this room except Jesus living his life through us. And so we see that we are to understand that we have this warring going on in our mind, bringing into captivity the law of sin. And that word captivity, I like that, because 2 Corinthians 10, you don't have to turn there, but let me just share this with you. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now here it is, watch this. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? That means, brothers, that as you're going along, young men, I'm talking to you guys too, because you know what? The Bible says we are supposed to treat women as though they are our sisters. I had a sister. She passed away 24 years ago. She was 3 years younger than me. And when we went through high school, I was a big brother, man. I didn't know guys come around her. It used to really get her upset, but she knew I loved her. I was a big brother. That's the kind of thing that the Bible talks about young men. That's how we should treat women when we're with them, like they're our baby sister. You say, that's no fun. Oh, yeah, it is, because you got that respect thing going there. So when you get these thoughts in our minds, when we get these things in our mind and we say, okay, Lord, I just looked at that person wrong. I looked at that woman wrong. Or I looked at somebody of an ethnic race. Let's just go there, because that's another sin of the mind. Nip it in the bud right then and take it captive to Christ. How do you do that, Gary? You take that thought and you say, Lord, I am sorry I looked at that person in a certain way. And Lord, I'm going to take handcuffs now and put it on that thought. And Jesus, I'm giving you this thought right now in Jesus' name. And you say, Lord, clear my mind of that. Listen, brothers, it works. But I might be going through a day of testing where 10 minutes later, it's going to happen again. And you're going to have to take that next thought captive. And this might go on all day long, and it's not easy. But it's a time of testing, and the testing of our faith is what makes our faith as pure as gold before God. He allows it to happen so that we will be ready for the next day when a thought like that comes in our mind, we know what to do. And we take it captive to Christ, and boy, we're back on the road to pleasing Him and doing His perfect will. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and he's enticed. Now watch this. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When it is full grown, it brings forth death. What is that saying? It's saying if we entertain these thoughts in our mind, if we don't take them captive to the Lord and we entertain them, then it's going to develop. It's going to grow just like a baby does. It's going to develop into more sin and more sin. And pretty soon, it's going to give birth into death. It sounds kind of bleak, doesn't it? But you and I know this is the truth. And we all struggle with the same thing here, man. And I'm sharing with you, there is a way. And I'm sharing it with you right here. This is the way to have victory over our thought process. So we understand now that if we start to think things that are not of the Lord, we need to say, Lord, this is not right. You're listening. And I want to take these thoughts captive to you in Jesus' name. So now, you know, you say, well, then what is the solution to this besides doing that? Because you say, oh, you know, we pray and we ask God not to do it. But man, what a wretched man I am. I keep messing up. I'm going to share from two areas in the Bible right now. These are keys to helping that have helped me to overcome these problems. And I want to share them with you. Okay, these are things that you can do while you're taking these thoughts captive to the Lord. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm pouring out my heart to you men today because I want you to know that there is no super saint. We all struggle with the same things. And man, I have days where I am just thanking Jesus all day long, and that's every day, but I'm saying there's where I'm not necessarily going through a heavy trial, a testing. God doesn't tempt. Remember, we've already saw that. He doesn't tempt us, but He allows us to go through trials, and He allows us to go through testings. And I've had those days where I'm just, man, what a wretched man I am. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, the devil say, you're not saved. You know, we hear all that stuff. Come on, you know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Be happy always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Listen, look up here. Every time that you say, okay, Lord, I'm learning some stuff today. And Lord, I want to do these things. How am I going to remember to take these thoughts captive? Through the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, when I begin to start this thought process that is not of you, remind me of it so that I can do what I'm learning today from your word and we can stop it. I've had to do that when I drive my car. Am I the only one that gets mad at people out there? With the more population we get, there's more goofy drivers out on that road. People going slow in front of you. People cutting you off. People on their cell phones eating a donut and, you know, and all kinds of shaving and everything. You know, you're like, come on! I do. And I get mad, you know, and I'm like, let's go, you know, come on. Am I the only one? And the Lord says, what the heck is wrong with you? And, you know, as I pass by the guy, he sees all my Jesus stickers on the back, you know, and I'm like, ah, praise God, you know, bless God, you know. What's wrong with me? So what did I do? I said, Lord, through the Holy Ghost, I'm asking you every time I get mad with one of these folks on the road, I want you to remind me of my anger. And you know what, man? Every time that I get out on that road and I get mad at somebody, man, and it'll last maybe for a second or two, and the Lord will say, yep, and I'll say, oh, I pray for this fella in front of me, Lord. I pray for him, Lord, that he will speed up or slow down or not be riding on the medium or whatever it is, you know, and I pray for them. And you know what? The joy begins to fill my soul again, and I'm not angry. And I'm filled back up with His love. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Look at verse 22. This one blows my mind. Abstain from every form of evil. That's a heavy verse, man. That's a heavy verse. You know, if somebody says, well, I'm not sure if this is a sin or not. And I hear that all the time. Say, well, here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all evil. How do I know it's evil? The Holy Spirit will tell you. Holy Spirit will tell you. Is it evil to you? Then it's a sin. There are some sins that are in the Bible that are sins in our lives that might be a sin to me and it might not be to you. What do you mean, Gary? Having a glass of wine. Maybe you want like to exercise your gift to have a glass. I'm not a gift. That's not a gift to drink a glass of wine. But let me back up. Back up. You're right to have a glass of wine. It's not a sin to you because you're not going to sit there and drink one more and more and more and more and more and get drunk. If you would ask me, I would say you probably shouldn't drink at all. Why? Because it's not a good witness. And if somebody comes over and needs counsel and you smell, got wine on your breath, that's not a good witness. That's my personal feeling. As a pastor, I'm not going to drink anything because I don't want to stumble anybody who's an alcoholic. Like myself, a delivered alcoholic. Are you with me? So for me, it is a sin. Listen careful. For me, it is a sin to have a glass of wine. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for my alcoholism. Are you with me? Now, not everybody's an alcoholic or delivered alcoholic as a Christian. I understand that. This is the verse, men. This is the verse that talks about all, and I'm not just talking about drink, I'm talking about everything. If it's a sin to you, then it's a sin. If it's evil to you, then it's evil. And the God of peace himself will sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But focus in with me on verse 17 and verse 18. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here we are. We're having this thought process begin, beginning of the day or whatever we're doing, all of a sudden we get a lustful thought, or we're looking down on somebody, or we're mad at a driver, or whatever it is. And then we say, okay, Lord, I want to take this thought captive to you. See, we're praying, aren't we, when we're saying that? We're continually praying. And when we're praying, we're not going to get all mad and because we're talking to Jesus, you see? So you keep that prayer life going, and you're praying all the time and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm getting mad. Thank you for the Holy Spirit reminding me at this time to pray for this person. And so you got this, and thank you, Jesus. The Lord loves us to say, thank you, Lord. Can we ever say thank you enough to our Savior? He's telling you something. He'll put a smile back on your face. And you'll say, thank you, Lord. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. This is the last scripture we'll look at today. We'll let out a little bit early. Colossians chapter 3. While you're turning to Colossians chapter 3, we've seen now that the way to get victory over these thoughts that will come in our mind, and they won't begin to snowball. You guys know what I'm talking about, snowball. If you don't nip it, if we don't nip it right when it begins, it'll snowball. And then pretty soon, we're going to say, what a wretched, stinking man I am. I can't do this. And you know, Lord, I don't even know why you love me. You know, and we're going to get in a pity party with the devil, because it's just what's going to happen. So we got to remember these keys. Take that thought captive right away to the Lord. It might happen again down the road a piece, or, you know, if we're at the beach. One time I was at the beach, I had to leave. I left because I could not stop my mind. How many of you guys have ever done that? You look at a girl the wrong way, and the next thing you look at another girl the wrong way, you look at another girl the wrong way, like, bah! What the heck am I doing? It's snowballing. The sin is starting to, just like a conception, and the baby begins to grow. That's what Paul was talking about. And pretty soon, if you don't get a handle on it, if we don't get a handle on it, it's going to give birth into sin. You might go and do something that you wouldn't normally do. So you pray. Take the thought captive to the Lord. Thank Him that even though you're being tested, you're going to have victory over it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, look at this with me, please. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Listen, man, put a song of joy in your heart. Put the word of God in your heart. Quote scriptures. Quote them out loud. I'm going to share a real quick story before we look at our last verse today. Up at the house that I just inherited up in Placerville, my mom and dad were not walking as Christians. And I would go into that house, man, and you know what? There's some scary things happening in that house. Now, I'm not saying it's a ghost house or anything, but I'm telling you, when I used to go in that house, I'd see shadows. I'd wake up sweating. And I'd pray. But I remember a couple summers ago, man, I was sweating all night long. I was fighting this thing. And you know what I did? I prayed out loud. Every room I went to, I said, in the name of Jesus, enemy, if you're in this house, you are to leave in Jesus' holy name. Jesus, send the enemy out to the farthest part of the desert. And Jesus, this is your home, and you dwell through this place. I declare it to be so. See, you can do that. Did you know that? And listen to me. that demons, they cannot listen to your thought process. I know this from the Bible. It's very clear. But the word of Jesus is spoken, and they got to flee. Turn on K-Wave. Turn on Christian music. They're not going to hang around to listen to that. And so, spiritual songs and worshiping and praying out loud in Jesus' name. And you know what? You're going to have victory. And whatever you do, look at verse 17, our last verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There it is, brother. In the name of Jesus, we are going to have victory over these things. Listen, man, too many men fall. Too many men fall from the internet. Why? Because they click onto something, then they click onto something else. You know, I don't have internet at home. I don't have it. I go to the college. It's an accountability thing. But I'm telling you, once I was at the college and something came up and I clicked, I better find out what that is so I can pray against this dirty picture. You know, I'm like, what the heck am I thinking about? I honestly thought that. And I almost went on that site in the middle of all these college students at Cypress College. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. That's what I'm sharing with you. So what do? In Jesus' holy name, I am not going there, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, you forgive me, Lord, right now, because I'm taking this thought captive to you. I'm taking this thing that I'm doing wrong now captive to you. And I'm giving it to you at the cross. And I'm moving ahead in victory. Brothers, we can do this. I know it works. In closing, listen, you're going to have bad days. We're going to have days. But though weeping endure through the night, joy cometh in the morning. After a storm, the sun comes up. And there's going to be more good days than there are times of testing. And if we use these tools that we learned today, if you hide these in your hearts, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Psalms 119:11. That's what we need to do. Take this stuff that we learned today, hide it in our hearts. And then when that time of testing comes, and it will come, maybe it'll come when you go driving down the street right now. You say, oh man, you know, I'm so mad at this grandma in front of me. Man, why don't you speed up? Right? Then you go, wait a minute, what did I just learn? Father, I pray for that senior citizen. I pray that they'll know you, Jesus, and be saved, number one. And second, that they won't get hit by, you know, or whatever. Pray for them. And remember these things. Hide them in your heart, and you'll have victory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we learn today, in all things give thanks to you. Lord, you're the author and finisher of our faith. We can do nothing apart from you. In you, we have victory. Father, I want to pray for myself and for each and every brother in this room. Lord, I pray that you will make us mighty men of God, sold out to you, Christian fathers, Christian husbands, Christian men, boyfriends, Christian young people, sold out 100% for you, Lord. Lord, we've learned today that you are listening to our very thoughts. There is nothing hidden from you. Lord, that's not a scary thing because, Lord, we love you. And we are here at men's prayer breakfast today, Lord, because we want to be more like you. Jesus, please help us to keep our thoughts and minds set on you. And Lord, bless each and every one of these men that are here today, and young men and boys. Let them go in victory and knowing, Lord, that all things are common, that we all struggle with these things, but in you we have victory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers. Gary.
You know, it's so interesting how relevant when we have brothers come up here and teach how we all struggle with things. And even our pastor has told us the struggles with going to the beach and all that. It's so common. There's no age boundary there. We'll always be tempted in this world. And I'm so glad that we have brothers that can that are real enough to be able to say, I struggle just like everybody else. And I just love every one of you that have come up here to do that. Next month we're going to have Pastor Mark is going to give the message. I asked him to talk to him last week, and I really enjoy to have all the pastoral staff involved at this church in this, because this is the church's ministry. It's not my ministry. It's not anyone's ministry. It's a collective effort, and as we can see today, it's relevant, and we want to remain relevant in this church because we all hurt, and we've all learned over the, I know in the last 5 years from me, there are a lot of people in this church that have gone through the same struggles. If we have family, if we have kids, Gary and I have talked about it before with our daughters, our sons, we all hurt, and that's what it's all about. This is a hospital. If you think about it that way, it's a spiritual hospital. Anyway, God bless you, and we'll see you next month.